it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's Monday afternoon. It's always tough on a Monday afternoon when the Saints lose, especially when they lose a game. They could have won. I could have tied, and I think they would have gone on to win it. But they could have won that game. But it didn't work out, and Kyler Murray was something to deal with, as he usually is. And I heard Deuce in the pregame, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. I heard Deuce talking about how Kyler Murray wasn't feeling well. But you know they can give those guys a shot, and you know they suddenly feel better. You know, I know that with musicians, like especially the big time artist, if they're not feeling well, you know, there's like doctors that can, you know, give them a shot or to make them feel better, and they can go on and do the show. So I don't know what happened, but he didn't look like he was feeling badly at all yesterday afternoon. He was just running like he had just stolen something. And that's what happens when, you know, you put pressure on him, and then everybody's back covering receivers, and he's just got a wide open lane, and the little dude is fast. So, you know, he does turn, you know, just a run for a first down into a lot of yardage. But I can't help but just go back and just believe that it's okay to talk about players who in key moments don't live up to their training, what they're trained to do, what they're actually paid to do. And we see some athletes do it. Many athletes do it, and some athletes don't do it. And DeJuan Johnson has had a reputation of dropping passes. It's happened before, seasons before. And he was doing pretty well in the game. But when it really mattered, I think he had the ball. I think it was a touchdown. But the ball did come loose. And if he would have just held on to it in that key situation, there wouldn't have been a question to ask. But I don't blame it on him. It was a team effort. And then the next play with 4 seconds left, Rattler just kind of threw the ball out of bounds, and I mean that doesn't give anybody a chance to score. So it was disappointing. Let me get back to your calls, and then we're going to go to Ian and get some of your text messages on. From Homa, Ben, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoot. I've spoken before, but it's been a long, long time, as you may recall.
I do appreciate your call. Glad you called in again, Ben.
I wanted to speak briefly about that. I think it's Lamar Jackson you mentioned with the Ravens.
Yeah, let me set this up for anybody who missed it earlier, anybody's not aware of it. Last night in the game, it was a Sunday night game between the Bills and the Ravens in Buffalo, and I think the Ravens had just scored, and they're walking along the back part of the end zone, I guess, to get to their bench, and some Buffalo Bills fan shoved the helmet of DeAndre Hopkins, and then right behind him was Lamar Jackson, and he shoved his helmet. Lamar Jackson turned around with both hands and shoved him and pushed the kid back on his butt. And, I mean, when I say kid, I'm thinking he might have been, you know, in his early 20s. It was kind of a distance, but that's, you know, what I thought. And, you know, I don't think he should be criticized for what he did. I mean, I don't think fans should be encouraged to touch athletes on the field of play. And if you touch an athlete, and an athlete like Lamar Jackson has a chance to just shove you on your ass, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Do you disagree? Do you agree?
I would agree with you if Lamar Jackson was just like a regular person, but I disagree with you because Lamar Jackson is a professional player getting millions of dollars. And I think that in that respect, it still has to show restraint because of his status. That's my opinion about that.
Well, Ben, while I understand that, I will also say that it's not in the game of football for fans to physically push players or do something to a player. And if a fan does that and a player has the opportunity right there without going in the stands to just, you know, retaliate against the person that did it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But look, I understand your point. It would have been nice if he didn't do anything, but, you know, I kind of like that he did it, because I don't like these you know, punk jerks in the stands who you know, get frustrated that a team scores and it's the opposing team and they want to throw something at him or they want to push their helmets or something. I don't think these people should get away with it.
Right. I'm not condoning what the fan did. In fact, if it had been during the game, it was kind of like, I'm not sure if that happened after the game, right?
I believe it happened after a score. I mean, I was kind of going back between, I saw the replay over and over again, saw the story, but I was going back between the game and the MTV Video Awards last night, and so I missed it in real time, but I believe they were walking back to their sideline along the back of the end zone after a score, and I guess the fan was frustrated.
I think the fan would have had to have been tossed out because of that. I would agree with the fan not being able to stay there.
Well, I'm glad he got pushed on his butt. I mean, he got launched back.
Well, I understand your point. We can agree to disagree, but it's good talking with you again.
All right, Ben, I appreciate the call. I'm glad you're listening down at home. Thanks. Let's go to Gretna and Jackson. You're on WWL.
School.
I'm good.
You hear me? Huh?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh man, I'm just excited that we got football going on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That is exciting.
Yes. And, you know, I listen to you all the time. I will always agree with what you say, but this is my first time calling.
Wait a minute. We got to stop. We got to stop right here. If you're a first time caller, we're going to give you a little special treatment here.
I feel special,
Doc. Well, you should, because we don't do this for just anybody, but we do it for first-time callers. All right, Jackson, go ahead.
School, you know, what happened with the game, I'm like, with the game, bro, I'm like, this is a rebuild. Y'all got to realize these guys got to gel. They have to get it all together before they start winning. It was a good game, but it's a rebuild.
Well, I agree. It's not going to stop our frustration if they come close to winning a game they could have and maybe should have won, because there are going to be some games that they're going to have a really difficult time. And the games, we've got a really tough schedule early in the season, and you just hate to see them. You just hate to see them lose a game that could have been a victory. But as I said at the beginning of the show, you know, I feel like this is good. I feel like there's as much excitement as there is disappointment in the game yesterday. I mean, I felt good about Spencer Rattler. I think he had a good game.
Right. Yes, he did well. But these guys got to catch that ball. I mean, contested or not, they got to catch that ball. But like I said, it's a rebuild, and with the Buffalo and the Ravens game. Oh man, that kid pushed the receiver's head.
Yeah.
But before that, I'm getting ahead of myself. Before that, that guy caught that ball with one hand. He snagged it.
Yeah.
Boy, look. Oh, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, so do you think it was okay? It was okay for Lamar Jackson to push that kid after he pushed his helmet?
Yeah, he pushed somebody, so why not get pushed back?
I agree. You know? I agree with you, Jackson.
His parents should have said, boy, you know you did wrong, and that's what you get.
Yep. That's right. And maybe that's going to teach fans, you know, leave these players alone. They're on the field. You have no right to touch these players or to do anything. And to push the helmet of Hopkins and then push the helmet of Lamar Jackson, and then Jackson turns around and pushes the kid on his butt.
Right.
I think that was cool. Jackson, I appreciate you being a first-time caller, and thanks for listening. Let's go to Curtis in Chalmette. Hey, Curtis. Hello, Curtis. Are you, Curtis, are you with us?
Are you on a ladder? Well, am I not supposed to be on a ladder? Oh, wait.
Curtis.
I didn't have to be on a ladder.
Oh, Ron.
All right, we'll check in with Curtis tomorrow or the next day. All right, let's do some text.
That's so funny. Okay, we're getting a ton of texts about Curtis Jackson and everything else. First, I want to start with the important information people need to know. Rusty is listening. He says, all right, I'm just figuring this out. Scoot sat in the front row two times I had a no call where we lost. And what shoes did you wear yesterday? Come on, Scoot. What are you doing to it?
Man, I wore these really expensive Italian designer boots.
You joking me right now?
No, I'm serious.
Why would you wear really expensive? Well, okay, I guess.
Well, they're kind of hardy boots. I mean, they're like, they're hardy boots. I mean, I wasn't worried about, like, you know, them being delicate
or
getting
beat up
or
scuff
anything.
Those boots, man.
No. They're not those kind of boots. But yeah, they were very expensive Italian designer boots. But they're really kind of cool. So anyway, I wore them. I'm not even thinking about the black and gold that I used to wear. I'm not thinking about those cursed Steve Maddens. You know, I don't wear those anymore. I don't even wear them to the store. I don't want anything to go wrong when I'm in line.
Wow, yeah. That's
so
serious.
I'm not wearing any of that.
Superstition.
But yeah, it is interesting that I was in the first row, like right there when the bad call, the no call with the game against the Los Angeles Rams. And then I was also there yesterday when Johnson, I thought he caught it, but the ball did come loose. And I think he should have held it the whole time.
Here's a text that says, we have tickets behind the Saints bench and their vibe was very dull. I'm also not sold on Spencer Rattler. He looks very nervous in the pocket. Coach should let him run more because he's fast. My thing with Rattler is he didn't look that different than his six games last year. I was at least expecting him to show some more progress. I'm ready for Chuck.
Well, I think Chuck may come along. But look, I don't think Chuck would have made a difference in that game. And if that's the case, then you let, you know, I think sometimes we want too much too soon. And the people who want, I love this, you know. I remember years ago there was this quarterback controversy, and I think it was between Bobby Hebert and Steve Walsh. And I love these quarterback controversies because it's like you get behind one quarterback like he's your favorite political candidate, you know, and no matter what happens, your quarterback could have done better. But, you know, I think we sometimes expect too much out of the quarterback that we're not cheering for, or that we think the other one should be in. I think that's kind of a natural thing that happens. But I thought Spencer Rattler did a good job. And look, he kind of engineered the team coming back, and he put the ball right in Juwan Johnson's hands. Juwan Johnson's hand. I mean, it was right in his hands. So, you know, you can't do any better than that. And look, with 9 seconds left, and there's still hope that the Saints can tie and we go into overtime, that's entertainment, and that was good. So, but I see this lull on the sidelines, and I think about the field reporter last night, the sideline reporter last night, who said, yeah, there's a lot of they're all jacked up on the Ravens bench sideline on the bench. Well, I don't see that with the Saints. You know, where is that getting all jacked up? Where is that, like, you know, we're not just going through the motions. You know, where is this killer instinct? Where is that? I don't know. It's not often seen with the Saints, that killer instinct attitude. And, you know, it doesn't cost anything in terms of the salary cap. It doesn't cost anything to get jacked up. So, I think the team needs to be a little more jacked up.
I'll give you a couple more quick ones before we step away. Here's a text that says, I'm a firm believer. The players are entertainers. I don't want to hear their political opinions. In that same thought, fans must understand that players are not interactive and should not be touched. If a fan catches a player off guard, that's a life-altering injury potentially. If a player has enough, these men can hurt you without even trying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy in the stands was like a punk compared to Lamar Jackson.
But Blanco Nino putting your hands on me. Get out of here.
I don't think there was anything wrong with what Lamar Jackson did. He should have pushed that kid down. And I say kid, it wasn't like it was a 14-year-old. But even if it was, I'm sorry, man. You don't touch the players. And this punk in the stands, you know, shoved the helmet of Hopkins and then shoved the helmet of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson turned with both hands and shoved the kid down. I think he went back a couple of steps, actually. I mean, I think he went airborne.
Oh, you know, yeah. He and his friend, you can see in the slow-mo, his friend, like, turns around. It's like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Like, well, kind of couldn't just believe what had happened.
No kidding. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad Lamar Jackson did that.
I'm not sorry either. On the other side of that coin, here's a text that says, that's crap. You got to have decorum. As a healthcare worker, if a patient were to hit me and I retaliated, I'm gone. The patient will still get their treatment regardless.
I don't know how to compare it to that. I don't know that industry. I don't know how to compare it to,
well,
to that situation.
That's not so difficult. I mean, if you're a healthcare worker and you're providing care to a sick person, or if you're a teacher and you're dealing with a student, those people are in your care. Part of the social contract you've entered into with them is that you're going to take care of them. And that means sometimes not retaliating if they attack you in some way. I was a teacher for a brief period of time before Katrina, and I had to go take all these trainings, which, like, here's how to disarm a kid without hurting him. And, you know, if you're a teacher or you're a healthcare worker, you cannot retaliate. There is no such contract between Lamar Jackson and this.
Correct.
Insert mean word here from Buffalo. You know, it's like he doesn't owe him any. He doesn't owe him any courtesy. He doesn't owe him any respect. He's attacking his teammate. You're going to get shoved. Sit down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all I recognize is the kid had blonde hair, you know, blondie. So we'll just call the kid blondie. But, you know, again, I think that kid went way beyond the boundary of what is acceptable. And I'm glad that Lamar Jackson put him in his place. And I hope the NFL does not fine Lamar Jackson for that. All right, we got to get to a break here. If you're on hold, stay with us if you want to join us with a comment. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. Also, I want to go through some of the NFL scores a little bit later in the show. I mean, we're not in bad company. Do you know who else is 0-1 right now? And think about the power of these teams, and think about how these teams are probably expected to get to the playoffs and maybe even the Super Bowl. But the Saints are 0-1. So are the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Lions, the Falcons. And I mean, I know that was a, you know, divisional game for for our division, but you know, if one team in our division is going to lose, I hope it's the Falcons. And the Falcons have been, you know, promoted at the beginning of the season as the team that's going to win the NFC South. So I love that the Falcons lost, but you know, the Saints are in good company. And the 49ers come to town. They had a last-minute come-from-behind victory over the Seahawks. Maybe they come to town, and maybe they're a little complacent, and maybe we can take advantage of them. So, you know, I'm going to be positive about the game coming up. All right, on the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1965, an advertisement appeared in Variety magazine. Here's what the ad said. Four insane boys, ages 17 to 21, to star in new TV show. It was an ad to find people, cast members, to fill the role of the monkeys. It said, four insane boys ages 17 to 21 to star in new TV show. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. It's Manic Monday on WWL.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little on the warm side, but, you know, I have been feeling this drier breeze. And when you're in the shade, it's really, really comfortable. Tonight, you're going to see, it's going to look like a full moon, but the full moon is past, but it's going to be a big, beautiful moon in the sky tonight. So when you see that, I want you to remember that you listened to our show today on WWL. It's all about remembering that you're listening to WWL. And remember some of the things that you hear on our show, and remember that it's WWL. And nobody else. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. We've been talking about the Saints and the disappointing loss, but look, it's still a beautiful day. I mean, I don't make any less money if the Saints lose, so I don't let it really bother me that much. But I mean, it is frustrating. It's as a fan, it's frustrating when things are so close to working out and then things don't work out. So we've talked about this. I want to take just a little break here because there are some things to talk about concerning energy. And we all get frustrated when the power goes out. And I think energy's doing a really good job right now airing a commercial that has energy workers, employees, energy workers saying, hey, when the power goes out, our power goes out too. You know, I consider that to be poetic justice. I mean, it wouldn't be fair if the energy employees kept their power and we lost our power. So, you know, they lose their power, too. But there are a few things we wanted to talk about here. And Anika Scott is a vice president of customer service and economic development for energy. And Anika joins us on WWL. Anika, good afternoon.
Hi, Scoot. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm excited to be with you today.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and it's great to have you on. So, look, there's a lot going on, and I just wanted to touch base with you. You know, the power goes out sometimes, and nothing has happened. There's no storm. There's no thunderstorm. There doesn't seem to be a reason for that. What do you want to tell people to try to make them a little less frustrated when those things happen?
Sure. So there's always a reason, right? When the power does go out, sometimes it's a car hitting a pole. You know, sometimes it's a piece of equipment that is at the end of its useful life and we need to replace it quickly. But, you know, our job is to get the power back on as quickly and safely as possible, no matter why it goes out. And then to communicate that with our customers. You know, we know they make decisions. We know if the power goes out, you want to know how fast you're going to get back on and why it went out. So our goal is to communicate that information as best and quickly as possible.
You know, the emotional end of summer is over, but this is really the peak hurricane season, September, October, just peak time for storms. I mean, we're so fortunate because it looks like over the next 7 days, there is nothing developing in the Atlantic Basin. And that's, you know, really great news. And, you know, so far, so good. At Energy, have you been proactive? Have you been doing things that make you better prepared to deal with storms?
Yes, we do. We prepare for storms year round. And look, from your mouth to God's ears, no storms this season. That's our goal. We don't like hurricanes, but we're prepared if we get them. So year round, we trim vegetation management back from lines, back from poles. That's a really big percentage of our outages, right? You have vegetation come down, takes the pole out. We lose power. And obviously, we want to get power back on as quickly as possible. And you know, after Hurricane Ida, that was a large outage, as everyone knows. And the council came to us and said, give us a plan to make our system more resilient to storms. And this is a really interesting fact that I think you'll appreciate. We have had 9 Category 4 or 5 storms hit the United States coastlines over the past 50 years. 6 of those have hit within the last 5, and 2 of those hit Louisiana, right, within the last 5. So we know they're coming stronger. We know they're coming more frequently, so we have to be prepared. The council asked us to prepare a resiliency plan, and we filed a really big multi-year plan a couple of years ago. At the end of 2024, they approved the first phase of it, about $100 million. To do projects all over the city. We'll replace 3,000 poles with poles that are wind resistant up to about 140 mile an hour and 63 miles of new electric lines. And hopefully we're getting ready to initiate a phase 2 plan with the goal of we want customers to, first of all, we would love for them not to go out during a storm. Stronger, more resilient infrastructure can give us that. But if they go out, we want to get them back up as fast as possible. When you don't lose a pole, it's... much quicker to just string a new lineup as opposed to sitting new polls, and it's a lot cheaper. So it saves everybody money in the long run. Yeah. That's our goal.
But if the polls are designed to withstand 140-mile-an-hour winds, that's good. That's good. And I guess there's a cost-efficient equation where, you know, just doing it to withstand 200-mile-an-hour winds, because it's not likely to happen, it's not cost-efficient to do that.
You're exactly right. And, you know, we hire an outside firm to run all of these models to tell us these are where the projects need to be, and this is your cost benefit to doing them there. At some point, you know, we can't pass along extreme costs to our customers. We don't want to do that. We're very conscious of the cost of that to customers. And look, it costs them an average $1,200 to evacuate. Most people can't afford that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So our goal is just to get back on as fast as possible so people can get back to work, kids can get back to school, and you don't lose food in the refrigerator.
Well, you know, another time that power goes out is sometimes in the winter. It's not as likely here as in other parts of the country, but you know, we can have of icy conditions that cause the lines to break, the wires to break because of the burden from the ice.
Look, we don't like ice either, you know, because you're right. It's so heavy, it sags on our lines. We were very fortunate in this last, you know, snowmageddon in January.
Yeah.
You know, we had a few outages, but we got people back on really quickly, and we were really proud of how our team responded in really unique circumstances out here in, you know, South Louisiana.
Yeah, we're not prepared for that. We're not used to that. So there are energy policies that are changing. Is energy adapting to all of that okay?
Absolutely. Look, we have a great team of people here. We are constantly looking at better ways to innovate. In fact, I just sent an email out to several customers. We're using drone technology, obviously, to fly our lines to identify areas where you may see an outage at some point. So we are able to identify those. We use AI to say, look, this is when this outage may occur, and we can go in and fix that problem before you actually experience an outage.
Do power outages discriminate? Are power outages more likely in some neighborhoods than other neighborhoods?
I know that people who have outages think that,
yeah.
But no, there aren't. It is a very intricate, complicated system. And look, if we see a neighborhood experience an uptick in outages, then we'll drill down and say, okay, is there something going on here that we aren't seeing? That happened about a month or so ago, kind of along the Ferret Street area. We went in and had a couple of outages. Our team went in. They kind of dug down to see what the issue was. They made some upgrades, and then we communicated that back out to all of the customers, about 7,300 customers in the area, that we realized that we've made the upgrades and they shouldn't be seeing any additional outages.
So, Nika, was there a time when you were, like, young and you got shocked and you thought electricity was cool and you wanted to do this for a living?
Let me just say this. I am not a lineman. I am in customer service and economic development. Those guys are heroes. I did go up in a bucket truck to see what it looks like up there because, you know, in hurricanes, we can't send a guy up or a gal up in over 30-mile-an-hour winds. It's just too dangerous. And when you go up in that bucket truck, you realize why. So, no, I stay away from electricity. All I do is talk about it.
So that's what we need. We need bucket trucks that can go up in, like, you know, 80-mile-an-hour winds. You know, get these people strapped in there and let them get up there when the winds are really – we need better bucket trucks.
Look, maybe that's a new product. We'll go into business together, Scoot. Maybe we'll invent a new product.
No,
make
listen,
a lot of money.
If I went into business, you'd go out of business, trust me. So let's just keep things the way they are. Is there anything else you want to tell the customers of energy?
Look, we're got our fingers crossed, hoping for no storms this season. But if so, please make sure you're signed up at myenergy.com. You can get all the information you need about restoration, about outages, when you'll be back on if you go out after a storm. Just make sure you're signed up.
All right. Another quick thought. When we go through a period where we don't have storms, does energy get complacent? Do you not think about what you need to do to make things even better? Or do you try to be proactive?
We are proactive, and we have a total operations and maintenance program that we perform all year long. and as well, in addition to our resilience program, that so that they're kind of hand in hand. One is reliability, one is resilience to help us recover from storms faster, and we work those every day all year long.
Yeah. Now, I want to confess this on the air to you. There have been times when my power has gone out, and I've said some bad things privately about energy. You know, in my apartment, I've cursed. I've said bad things, and I want to apologize for that.
Because well, I know you didn't plan it.
I know you didn't plan it.
I didn't.
I know you didn't plan for my energy to go out, but I can curse a lot. I can say really bad words when it goes out.
I understand it. You know, no one wants to lose power, and we certainly don't want customers to lose power. Our business is to keep the power on,
okay.
Right? So, and if it goes out, we want it back up as soon as possible.
Yeah, because you don't make money when the power's out.
That is correct.
Yeah, all right. Nika Scott, Vice President of Customer Service and Economic Development with Energy, thank you for spending time with us, and thank you for being a longtime listener, too.
Thank you, Scoot.
All right. Thanks, Nika. All right. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, it was on this day in 1973, Marvin Gaye enjoyed his second number one hit on the Billboard charts. Song is called Let's Get It On. And, you know, a lot of you might have dirty minds and think it's about sex. No, it's really it's about energy. It's about having the energy. You know, when the energy goes out, it's about let's get it on. You know, let's get the energy back on. Yeah, it's the song I'm singing. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the month of September. This song makes me just want to move around. I'm enjoying listening to it. Hey, I get paid whether I talk or not. Yes, we all remember September. Look, the Saints schedule is tougher now than it's going to be in the end. But we need to try to steal some games here. And I think the Saints are going to have an okay season. I do. And I'm okay. I thought Spencer Rattler did a good job yesterday. I'm Scoot. It's a Manic Monday. Glad you're with us. You know, last night watching Sunday Night Football, I don't know whether this bothers you or not, but this bothers me. When a team is down by 8 points, and last night the Bills were coming back against the Ravens, a team that, well, Bobby Hebert predicted them to win the Super Bowl. So the Saints and the Ravens are both 0-1. You know, the Ravens are not going to get bummed out about that, so we shouldn't get bummed out about that either. But when a team, I was watching the game last night, and the Bills are coming back, and when a team is down by 8 points, I hate it when the announcers say it's a one-score game. It's not a one-score game. They got to score a touchdown and 2 points. They've got to make the two-point conversion. And I looked up the stats on this from last season, and the two-point conversion rate is only 40%. So I hate it when the they say that, I guess, to make it seem a little more exciting, but I don't like it when they say it's a one-score game because, you know, not everybody makes that 2-point conversion. And again, the rate last year was 40%.
I mean, even if you're being generous and saying that they mean it's a one-score game and then it'll be a tie.
No,
that's including the extra point.
No,
it's not like the number of extra points that we're out here missing is zero. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, even that.
That's not a guarantee.
No, you're right. But especially with the 2-point conversion, with last year's rate being only 40% of the time that it's successful,
terrible.
That for them to say, you know, it's a one score game, I'm thinking, no, man.
Sure you would love for it to be a one score game.
Well, yeah, but no, they got to score the touchdown and the 2-point conversion to tie it. But man, the Bills did, and they came back and won that. That was really really exciting. Also, you know, I noticed this, and you know, you can notice this whether you're listening to the game, you're in the dome, or watching it. Like last night, I think it was number 72. I think that was twice. They said the officials say number 72 is registered as or has checked in as an eligible receiver. Do you know what's interesting about that? They never throw it to that guy. They never throw it to the person who is designated as the. Have you noticed that they never throw it to that guy?
Everyone's attention is on that guy now.
Well, no, so it's like they don't ever have to throw it to that guy. You don't have to cover that guy because they never throw it to the guy who is the eligible receiver. And also, you know, walking around the dome yesterday, there is there's these dome outfits, and the people who work there, it says housekeeping.
Wait, what?
It says housekeeping what? on their shirts. It says housekeeping.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that this is kind of degrading. I mean, it's the dome and housekeeping. No, man, they should have like, you know, trash tech or sanitation tech.
How about dome patrol?
Dome patrol. I mean, like that.
That already means something else, but nobody's going to get confused. You know, call them the dome patrol.
And there's guys are wearing it to housekeeping. No, that just doesn't seem appropriate. So I think they ought to change those uniforms.
Housekeeping?
All right. All right. So, again, just very quickly, just looking at the games yesterday, we're not in bad company. And, man, who can believe that Daniel Jones, this is a quarterback who has been just pathetic over the years with the Giants. Daniel Jones, quarterback for the Colts. The Colts beat the Dolphins yesterday. Daniel Jones had a really great day, 33-8. And Aaron Rodgers, you think Aaron Rodgers is over? Aaron Rodgers threw 4 touchdown passes, and the Steelers beat the Jets. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Steelers beat the Jets, 34-32. And Aaron Rodgers, after the game, said that he was just happy to beat the Jets and let everybody with the Jets organization know that he's not over. All right, I'm Scoot. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to more calls. And also, there's a little more to talk about. On the SOTA calendar, this is a sad day on the SOTA calendar because on this day in 2020, composer, singer, songwriter, arranger, producer, saxophonist, and co-founding member of Kool & the Gang, Ronald Bell, passed away at the age of 68. And one of the many songs that he wrote and produced for Kool & the Gang was this song. No, wait a minute.
No.
No, wait.
This is...
Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's coming up. I'm ahead of myself. I'm ahead of the schedule here.
I thought we were all about to learn something new.
No, I thought, you know, no. This is Brothers Johnson. I'm sorry. I got ahead of, you know... I was ahead one play. All right. I'm going to get back. I got to get back in the huddle. I got to get back in the huddle. Recap things, and I'll be right back on
number
WWE.
74 is an eligible receiver checking it.
Okay, now we're up to date on this. Yeah, I got back in the huddle and figured this out. Yeah, Ronald Bell passed away on this day in 2020, and he was one of the founding members of Kool & the Gang, and this was one of the songs that he wrote and produced. Nice song from Kool & the Gang, and man, they just did so many, many, many great songs. Maurice White was another just key member who I remember when he passed away, and that was a big loss in the music community. All right, so Newsmax, you heard this earlier. Newsmax is advertising on our show. That's kind of interesting. A couple of comments about that in the next hour. And also, President Trump is talking about bringing prayer to public schools. We'll talk about that. I mean, is this a good idea? The Supreme Court's already ruled on it, but that doesn't seem to stop Trump. We'll talk about that coming up.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.